Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office supplies at huge savings?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
It's 1:33 in Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you on Oilers Now. Royal Pizza, Pizza Pasta, and so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years. For a menu and a list of their 13 Edmonton and area locations, go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. The Stauffer recommendation from Royal Pizza is the Mediterranean chicken. Mr. Escott is a fan of the Texan. By the way, how did they do in their first game to Brendan? We're just going to bring in before
they look, they look good, Bob. They looked actually pretty darn good with Tyrod Taylor at the helm.
So what does that say about Jacksonville this year?
It says that they're going to get thumped bad.
Do you think it's a possibility we don't see Deshaun Watson again in the NFL?
Unfortunately, I do. And yeah, that's really got me tiptoeing the end of this bandwagon here, the end of the fandom of the Texans.
Yeah.
Trying to hang in there, man.
I'm in a Heritage, as you know, a Heritage fantasy pool in football. And I drafted him a bunch of years ago and, you know, obviously saw him play his last, I did watch him play his last college game when he won a national championship with Clemson, and the year before saw him in person when Alabama knocked off Clemson. Guy was a terrific college quarterback, for those that are unaware. Is it an ongoing investigation with the off-field allegations leveled against him? Is that how we describe it?
I would say that's about as accurate as we can get it right now.
Yeah, I think that's as far as we can go with Deshaun Watson, the quarterback. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you, and we are going to bring aboard Cam Moon, who is down at the DCA today, the Downtown Community Arena, to watch the start of Oilers rookie camp. Hello, Mooner. How you doing?
Oh, doing very well. Great to be in the rink today, too.
It is, and I got bad news. Our plans for tomorrow night have been canceled. Now, I'm not sure if, you know what, we may be able to call to see, but fans are not allowed for tomorrow night's Golden Bears game against Mount Royal. So, I know, that's disappointing, especially since they were already checking to see if everybody was vaccinated going in, but the university has put a tweet out today, so it looks like our plans are on hold there. So today, down at Oilers rookie, one guy that kind of caught my eye, and I talked about this with a couple other guys that were there, Dmitry Samarukov. He there's some kids that look like kids, and then there's a guy that looks like a man, and he looks like a man. Anybody else besides Samarukov kind of catch your eye down there?
Well, definitely, yeah, Samarukov, and granted, it's one session, but in that one session, he looked the most ready to play in the NHL of anybody out on that ice. But beyond that, I kept a close eye on Xavier Bourgault, the Oiler first-round pick this past draft, and saw what I guess I expected, really good speed, incredible skill. You can see why he put up numbers and has put up numbers at the Quebec Major Junior League, and you can clearly see why he is going to be in the mix, at least for the Canadian national junior team, or, you know, in that conversation. You know, what he does in the first half of the year is going to determine that, but he's certainly in that mix. So I expected to see that, certainly saw it. Raphael Lavoie is another one that looks like he's getting really close. And I've not seen him play in a couple of years, but he's definitely thicker than he was a few years ago. And talking in his post-practice media availability, said he has added some weight and good weight. So I was impressed with him. Good hands to go with that size. That he's a guy that can't be too far off, you know, as long as the skating continues to improve.
Cam Moon joining us. Cam, I left at 11:18 to make my way back to 6:30 Chad here. Did they end up scrimmaging at all today, or was it all just strictly skating drills? I noticed they'd started to get in a little bit of compete drills as I was leaving.
Yeah, there was compete drills, and then it got into forecheck drills, and then, creating off a dump and looking to create turnovers. So there was that. It got a little systemy near the end, but no actual scrimmage.
Tell me this. You played goal in the WHL. You were not the biggest goaltender. That said, we're going back 30 years, and not every goalie was 6'4", 6'5", seemingly back there. And I want to talk a bit about Konovalov, because he is, well, to be frank with you, he's undersized by today's standards in the National Hockey League. Ilya Konovalov listed at 5'11", 196 pounds. Now, I know he was out early today. I'm not sure if he left, because it looked
he did leave. He left.
Did you notice anything at all when they were working him early before Rod Regan, Ethan Kruger, who was out of Brandon, the WHL, a camp invite? Did you notice anything with Konovalov at all? Because we get asked, I'd say, and maybe it's the Russian thing, like we get asked a lot about Sam Marukov here on the Ashley Fine Flores text line, and a lot of people have a lot of interest in Konovalov. You played the position. The guy had a .923 save percentage last year in the KHL. Did you see anything at all in terms of his movement and flexibility and that sort of thing when they were working with him before the main group hit the ice?
No, it wasn't on long enough. It's really tough to say.
Yeah.
He was on early, and then he was gone, and Jay Woodcroft said after he's working through an injury. So,
okay.
Yeah, so it's tough to say. All they had out there was Stuart Skinner and Olivier Rodrigue. Like, those were the only two going. I never did see Ethan Kruger on the ice. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'd love to give you a scouting report on him, but he wasn't on there long enough for me to give one.
One of the four, I don't know if you, Matvey Petrov, who's the number one pick in the European draft, a 6'2", 6'2", 181-pound Russian kid, went in the sixth round of this past year's draft, is going to play in the O this year. He could shoot the puck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he fired the puck. I was impressed with his shot. I was also impressed with Jake Chiasson, who plays with the Brandon Wheat Kings. Oilers took in the fourth round this year. I don't. Maybe my expectation level wasn't super high, but I thought his speed and skill were a little better than I expected. And he's not small. I mean, they got him at 6'1", 165. So, yeah, he's got to grow. He's the youngest guy on the ice there, too. Like, he's got to get a little thicker. But, Petrov had an incredible shot. That was, you couldn't miss that. And then I thought Chiasson showed really well for his first time out on the ice there with, you know, a lot of guys that are older than him and guys that have pro experience. And Chiasson's going to go back and play with the Brandon Wheat Kings, and this is his first chance at an NHL camp. I thought he showed well, too.
Cam Moon joining us right now in Oilers Now. All right, circling back, because we're getting a couple more texts on, just on the size thing. From your perspective, how much of a factor is that for today's goaltender?
Well, if things are equal, then, yeah, you're going to want the bigger guy. But if a guy can play, he can play. Like, if he wins games and he stops pucks, that's the bottom line. If you got guys that you think are equal ability and the one's bigger, you're going to take the one that's bigger. He takes up more net. But, you know, take a Jonathan Quick, for example. The guy has won. Is he the biggest goaltender? No, he's not. But that hasn't affected his ability to win games and stop pucks. So it's great to have. You'd love to have it, but If you don't, I don't think it's a 100% prerequisite. If you can win games and stop pucks, you don't have to beat the puck up. You just have to stop it. So I don't think it's you don't have to have it, is what I'm saying.
And I mean, Cam, you do goalie coaching to this day. You've seen the move to bigger guardians. When you were playing in the WHL, who were, you know, maybe if you can name a couple guys who went on and either play in the NHL or the American League that our listeners would know that were bigger goaltenders as you started to see a bit of a movement towards that. Were there a couple guys in the league that come to your mind right away?
Well, Ole Kolzig was in Tri-Cities, and Ole was a big customer. So you could see, and he was strong and could shoot the puck and, you know, move it quickly. And I mean, he was probably one of the biggest guys. Like, at the time I was there, I was in the middle. Like, there were certainly goaltenders smaller than me in the WHL. You know, Dusty Emu comes to mind.
Yeah.
You know, he was very big, but he could stop pucks. I mean, Jeff Calvert played in Moose Jaw. It wasn't very big. Smokey Redick was in Swift. But then you had your medium-sized guys like Chris Osgood or Corey Hirsch, Byron Defoe. Jamie McLennan was a little bit bigger, but not Ole Kolzig size. I mean, all those guys were in the league at the same time. And then I just listed off a bunch of guys that played in the NHL. Trevor Kidd, also in the WHL at that same time, he was probably 6'2". So he was on the larger end. You know, Kolzig was about 6'4", 6'5". But, you know, a lot of guys were in that 5'10 to 6'1 range at that time. But, you know, it was different. The position is completely different now in the way it's taught, all for the better. The way it's taught, the equipment has improved a lot. That's helped, too. Don't get me wrong. That's helped, too. But the way we teach it now is far superior. And, if you're bigger, it's a complete advantage because you can take away the lower part of the net and still not give up a lot to the top parts of the net. Than the smaller guy. Smaller guy just has to play a little bit more aggressive and it has to.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles. We win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Have good better than average anticipation and aggressiveness.
We're joined by Cam Moon, Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. Cam, we'll get to the series, like a couple of the differences, but in terms of how the position's taught today than maybe when you played, or if it was even taught at all when you played. But when you played, were there teams that you played you're like, let's not have a line brawl with this team because I don't want to have to go?
Yeah, that was every team we played.
There you go. That's what I expected.
I got pumped a few times in Junior A before I got to the Western League, and I got fed so many rights, I was begging for a left that I wanted no part of those. Like, and if Ole Kolzig was at the other end, like, I would have crawled over the glass before I'm fighting that guy. Like, that would have been a complete...
Oh, you're an honest man. So you wouldn't have done the Steve Passmore, eh? Like, he liked to pick the occasional fight, and I know he got speedbagged a couple times pretty good. But...
Well, and Passy played in the WHL the same time as I did, too, and he was game for anything. I'll give Steve credit. Like, he had a lot of jam. Like, and if he, you know, took it on the chin, like, whatever. He just kept coming back for more. Yeah, no, I was not in that category.
Okay.
At all.
You mentioned the positions taught differently today. What are the biggest technical differences from today for goaltenders versus, say, even 15 to 20 years ago?
Well, the side-to-side, the way we teach goaltenders to move from side to side, and I mean, the butterfly is one thing, but guys were butterflying back in the late 80s, early 90s. But they weren't able to get side to side like they do now. Like, now if it's a 2-on-0, you know, back in the day, you'd play a little more aggressive. And a 2-on-0, if executed, you could score on that, I venture to say, 60 to 75% of the time. Now, not so much, because of that ability to push off the back foot to get to the side, and then the play when a goaltender is in the butterfly, that ability to move around the net and cover a lot of net, certainly all the low, but quite a bit up high too. To me, that's a huge difference. Now the equipment has lent itself to that you can do that. It would be much more difficult with old gear to try and do the same thing. That is part of it. But the bigger part is the way it's taught. So that, I love it. I absolutely love it. And working with goaltenders, I find it's fun. I like seeing, you know, goaltenders get better and all those sorts of things. But yeah, to me, it'd be the side-to-side action for sure.
All right, Cam, let's switch focus here a bit to the Edmonton Oilers. Bob, I love the depth and the talent and the skill in the pipeline. I'm still a little worried about the sense of urgency on the toughness part. I think Calgary's strategy will hurt Edmonton, or will be to hurt Edmonton. Am I the only one concerned with this? Cam, the Flames have got Milan Lucic. They've got Brett Ritchie. We saw what happened in that fight with Kara last year. I've been talking about Brett Ritchie on this show for years. Just that there was a guy that could be a useful third or fourth line right wing. Now they've signed Erik Branson on defense, and I think a lot of some of the old school fans think, you know, they might be able to have their way a bit with the Oilers. What's your take on that?
Yeah, it is a bit of a concern. I know it's not as big a deal as it used to be, but it's still a thing. I don't care what anybody says. If you're a forward that has to go into the corner to go battle for a puck, and you're dealing with a guy that has that element about him and is a bigger player, that enters into the equation, whether you come out with a puck or not. And if you don't, well, now you don't have it, and you're chasing it around, and you're on defense. And what was the difference? Well, it was either the physicality or just the intimidation factor was the difference of getting it or not. So I still think it's a thing. And am I surprised the Flames have added a bit of that? No, not at all, given who's coaching the team. I wouldn't say that's a huge shock. But you'd like to see, you know, and you and I have talked about it, you know, at length, that you don't want a guy like Darnell Nurse, who is a tough customer and provides that. You don't want him fighting. You don't want him fighting at all, quite honestly.
Yep.
He's far too valuable. You need him on the ice. You certainly don't want to risk any injuries. So, you know, you just kind of, that takes him out of the mix. So would you like to see more of it with the club? Yeah, probably. But they got to be able to play. It's not like the old days where you even have a deterrent, a nasty morasty, as it would be, as you've talked about, of the Danbury team. You can't really have that guy anymore.
What did you think of the documentary?
Oh, my God. It was unbelievable. Like, I love the old footage. I thought they did a great job of telling the story. I didn't really know that story. I was amazed at how well they did it. I was also amazed how good that team turned out to be. The first year I was calling play-by-play in Nanaimo, Brad Wingfield, who was, and they called him Wingnut, he was part of the Royal City Outlaws. It was his last year, and everybody was scared of him. And seeing he had a pretty big part of that documentary.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, it was really good to see. But what an amazing story. I'm glad they put that together, because I am glad I got to watch that story.
And Cam, the last word's going to go to you on our Ashley Fine Floors text line from Hacksaw. Bobby, can you ask Mooner about his moon burger at cilantro and chive? Is this an inside joke that I don't understand?
No, no, it's an actual thing. It's a fundraiser for the charity of my choice, which was Special Olympics Alberta.
Okay.
And that ties back to Michael McIver, who's the dressing room attendant in Red Deer and still is and has been for 21 years. So every burger that gets ordered in September, a donation gets made to Special Olympics Alberta. So that's a real thing that is happening right now in Red Deer, yes.
Awesome stuff. We got a lot of listeners in Red Deer, big fans of the folks in Red Deer. And there you have it, the Moon Burger at cilantro and chive. Is this any burger or is it a specific?
No, it's specific. Yeah. The head chef and I concocted it together. Yes.
So what's on it?
It's a chicken breast that has a bit of spice, some chorizo on there and some avocado, a little bit of guac in there too. Yeah. So it's a nice touch. Trust me on this one.
You are a healthy guy. There's no question about that. You're not going to have an assistant coach say to you on the plane one time, you know, Bob, there's no old fat guys. You know, it's funny. You talk about it, people think you're 350 pounds when you meet them. It's pretty funny. All right. Hey, Cam, we'll see if we can get a special exemption because of vaccination status, if you know what I'm saying.
Maybe you know a guy.
I might know a guy. I don't know. Thanks for joining us here in Oilers Now. There you go. That is Cam Moon, who joins us every Thursday here on the show, as does Kevin Weeks, starting in October. For Canadian Power Pack, Alberta's leader in electrical construction service, electrical prefabrication, and solar. Still waiting on total clarity in terms of potential travel for New West Travel. Dennis and Jason Laliberti and the gang at New West Travel. As we go to List Day in Oilers history, and here's Brendan Escott.
Yeah, back in 1979, the Edmonton Oilers opened the team's first NHL training camp at the University of Alberta's Varsity Arena. Taking the ice were such names as Blair McDonald and Wayne Gretzky, along with the 1979 draft class of Kevin Lowe, Mark Messier, and Glenn Anderson.
Three Hall of Famers in one draft class, not bad. I think the Steelers had four, for the record. In one year, maybe 73, 74, and around that time. Reed Wilkins has Inside Sports tonight, 6 to 8 p.m. What's he got shaking?
It's going to be a fluid show, looks like.
Okay, there you have it. Tomorrow, we have the Edmonton Oilers rookies and the Flames rookies Saturday night, 5 p.m. That game is webcast on EdmontonOilers.com. And tomorrow we'll have Flames assistant GM, the man who put that team together, Brad Pascal, joining us, as well as Sportsnet spec Mark Spector for the horses and horse racing Alberta. And from the Oilers Radio Network and Sportsnet, my other play-by-play broadcast partner, Jack Michaels. Up next, the global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. Then we've got Rob Breckenridge from 2 to 3, and Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 here in 630 Ched. It is Jalen Nye with the 630 Ched Afternoons. Have a terrific Thursday, everybody.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 Ched.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.